KO4 NUE, KO4 PXB. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Lord, what's going on, bud? How was your day?
Pretty well. Like I said, pretty much just maintained the servers, made sure they were up and running for the weekend, and that nobody's user account was going to get locked out, and all the servers had the storage space to do what they needed to do, and called it a day.
What about that in about it? Now, Roger, give me just a second. I'm in a really bad spot. Over. Yeah, but that little boy. 4PXB, KO4NUE.
KO4PXB.
What spot? I couldn't transmit or anything. But you on? I'm in Piedmont. You on 85 over?
Behind Highway 14.
Looks like right about now.
Good. It was smooth sailing all the way through. I was doing 70 the whole way from Spartanburg.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna go home 25 and 11. I ain't gonna risk it, man. I can't stand sitting in a parking lot all day.
KO4 PXB, Jack, because that is definitely true. 85 just goes on the spur of the moment. You may be running good one point in time and then just come to a standstill because of an accident or just sheer stupidity.
Yeah, so, had an interesting day. My stepdad has been cooped up in the house for about 2 years now. He lost his vision, so the doctors took his driver's license away. And he's been cooped up in the house with Mama for 2 years. You know, so I decided I'd take him down to Shaw Air Force Base. He's an Air Force veteran, so we drove all the way down to Shaw today, and what an interesting day.
You mentioned that to one of the other operators this morning, that that's what you were doing.
Lost most of his vision and got hearing aids. Can't hear at all. And he gets in the truck this morning, and we're trying to get through Piedmont to hit 385. And I just hit the VR button on the steering wheel to activate. Siri, I got CarPlay in the truck, you know. And I said, "Hey Siri, find Shaw Air Force Base." So Siri comes on, and he looks in the back seat and said, "Why didn't you tell me you had somebody in the vehicle?"
No doubt that was good for a laugh.
That man was the happiest man in the world to get out of that house. Oh, my word. He was just ecstatic to be out. And we got out on 85, and he said, "Roll the window down. I'm going to stick my hands out." He said, 90, I believe he's 90. So we went down 85, and he had both his hands out the windows for about 10 miles or so. And bless his heart, I mean, I just feel sorry for him. But he says, "Son," he calls me son, "I just want to tell you, I love your mama." And I said, "But." UE Mobile.
CPA Mobile.
Hey, day, sir.
I'm doing good. Was that Lloyd you were talking to?
Yeah, Roger that. He must have dropped out or something.
Got a phone call or something. Somebody usually calls me when I get on the radio. It's usually my wife. But she's out of town. But she still calls me, I guess. I mean, you know. But, I mean, she knows I'm headed to our grandson's
Little League game, so I got a little bit of a drive from Taylor's to Powdersville.
It's out of Piedmont, and it's a little bit noisy over.
Listening good into the repeater. Oh, me. I was talking to my daughter on the phone, and I said, well, I guess I better get in the car and get going. And I said, because it'll take me a good 45 minutes or so to get there.
Well, I've been in vehicle all day, and I still got, 1 hour. 20 minutes, I guess, to get home. That's usually what it takes me to get there from Piedmont over.
For you, I tell you, I used to drive my drive to work. When I lived in Traverse Rest, I drove the motor mile. And I finally realized that if I left at a particular time, I think it was like a few minutes before 7, that I'd beat the traffic rush and, I think it was like 10 after 7. If I left by 10 after 7, I would beat the traffic rush and I would be able to, get to work and not run into heavy traffic. And it was a pleasant drive into work, but I didn't get off until 5:30, and it took me, most of the time it took me about 35 minutes to get home, and it was just, I could have had a great day, but I'd just be feeling tired by the time I got home.
You said he'd been in a vehicle all day. I took my stepdad down to Shaw Air Force Base today. He's over retiree and 90 years old, and I was telling Lloyd, can't hear, can't see, and been cooped up in the house for a long time. The truck this morning said, I've been cooped up with your mama for 2 years. We need to go now.
Have mercy, get him. Yeah, I can empathize with him there. Oh, man, I'm sure she wouldn't want to be cooped up with me for 2 years either. So, I got that door swings both ways.
I've just been a long time since I've had this much fun. I have just enjoyed the day with him. He is just, bless his heart, he is just so, funny. And he wasn't trying to be funny. He's just been stuck in that house for so long. And we got in a truck this morning. Mama come out with him. She said, here's your masks. You got to have your masks. So he begrudgingly, took the mask and stuck them up on the sun visor. And we got about 10 miles down the road. It took him 10 miles. And he says, I'm just letting you row right now. I'm not wearing that gall-darn mask. I'm not putting it on my face. And if you tell me to put it on, I'm going to tell you where to go.
Well, I mean, I guess he was tired of taking orders.
You're exactly right. We got about, 30 minutes from the house on the way back. And you could tell his anxiety level was, starting to rise a little bit. And he said, son, I love your mama to death. And I said, but.
If that was somebody trying to get in there, I heard something break the squelch. Yeah, I mean, I love my wife, but, there's times when I just like to be by myself, and I enjoy it, and then there's, times when I don't, so, it's just the way it goes, I guess. Heck, I've been married 42 years. I heard you talking about the part where you had Alexa. He was asking Alexa how to get to Shaw Air Force Base, and he thought there was another person in the car. I bet that was hilarious.
No, it was Siri. Siri. He would tell me he had somebody in the back seat. And I just feel so sorry for him. I mean, I came over the other day to check on him, and during the whole COVID thing, you know, I brought the groceries and this, that, and the other till, you know, they got their vaccine straightened out. But it's been, oh, I don't know, probably 6 months since he's lost his license. And, you know, I stay in touch with him with FaceTime and things like that. So he's just acting a little weird last week, you know, both of them. Neither one of them smiling anymore. So I just said, well, let me go over there and put eyes on, see what's, you know, see what's going on. So I came over, I don't know, beginning of the week, and mama said something to him, and he growled at her. You know? And I just said, okay, all right, I see what's coming. I'm coming to get you on Friday, and we're going to get out of the house for the whole day. For WWZ, standby channel. Go ahead, Dave.
I'm glad you were able to get him out. That's good. I mean, my dad was legally blind there last, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years of his life, and he never did have good eyesight from birth. He had coke bottle glasses when he was 2 years old, but you know, he came home one day. He was doing Meals on Wheels, and he did it for 24 years, and he came home one day and hung his keys up. He said, that's it. He said, I couldn't tell whether the light was green or red until I got right up on it. So he said, it's time for me to quit driving. I was really proud of it.
Well, we went down to Air Force Base, and like I said, he's an old Air Force veteran. So we looked around at the airplanes, and they had some jets down there in the hangar and all. But I'm gonna tell you what; those are some sleek looking birds. I don't know what they were. He said they were F-16s. I don't know anything about airplanes, but I'm gonna tell you what; those things are just a dart with a rocket engine on the back of them. I couldn't imagine flying something like that. I'd be dead in less than a second.
Me both. I might get it off the ground, but I don't think I'd look too good coming in. it wouldn't be one of those landings you'd walk away from.
Yeah. Chandler, are you still in there? Go ahead and take it, Bert. Bud?
I'm good. How's my signal?
A lot of white noise, but you're audible.
I'm talking on the handle. I believe that's him. I'm just wondering, how close did you get to the flames, and what all did you see?
I can't make you out, bud. You're just not quite audible. If you can boost your power, that'd be great. Just kind of a little bit difficult to listen to. Can't understand. But anyway, Dave, we went to the PX. You know, that's the whole trip. We wanted to go down there and go to the PX and all. So he bought some medals for, you know, he keeps his uniform up in his closet. So he, you know, bought some medals to go on his uniform, and I got a hat, and bought me a notebook, 3 dookies, and bought me, you know, a couple of medals to go on my uniform too. But all in all, it was a good day.
How's it now, Chad?
Much better.
Go ahead, Dave.
You sound much better there into the repeater, Chandler. Oh, me. When you get my age, you're doing good to remember your name, let alone anybody else's. But anyway, yeah, I want to get down there sometime. I had the privilege of, and thanks for your service and your sacrifice, by the way. I had a job interview in Ohio, and it was about an hour north of Dayton, Ohio. I can't even remember the name of the town or city it was in, but we went to the air base there in Dayton, and in the museum. They have it is just huge, and then they take you onto the base, and you get to see some more planes, and they're all in hangars they had the President Kennedy's plane that he flew in when he was president, and it shows the of course they've got plexiglass up so you can't get it. You can only go down the aisle, but it shows where they took the seats out, because you know they wouldn't, she wouldn't, Miss Kennedy wouldn't let them put him in the cargo hold. She said he's gonna ride up here with me, so they put the casket up there, and they had to take a couple of seats out to transport him back, you know, to Washington. But anyway, and just stuff like that is the I forget what it is, the X something other, I think it's Blackbird. It went about Mach 3. That was something to see. Just a bunch of tons of planes. And you just walk right up to them and touch them. They didn't have any ropes around them or anything.
KO4WWG
for ID from California, reading KO4CPA. It's Kilo Bravo 4, Charlie Bravo Alpha, but that's okay, because you did pretty good there.
I tried my best.
KO4NUE here, so let me make sure I got it. Watched each other the whole way, you know, Army and Air Force, and, you know, just kind of made fun of one another, you know, in a good way. I mean, we, you know, it was all out of love, you know, but we just laughed and laughed and laughed, you know. So it was good. It was really good. You know, I need to get out of house, too, and need to change the scenery. Got to reminiscing on the way down. And sometime in the 60s, I think he said, he heard a song come over the radio, the White Sport Coat. So when he heard it come over the radio for the first time, he went to the clothing store at one of the Air Force bases and bought a White Sport Coat. So I told Siri, you know, play the White Sport Coat. And he, boy, that Siri, something else, ain't he?
Oh, me. Well, yeah, Siri's pretty good when she works. Sometimes, I think she plays dumb. You'll ask her questions and she'll say, I don't know that, or something. And I'm like, golly, I just want to say, well, what good are you? I thought Siri was supposed to be a wealth of information. But anyway, that's funny. Yeah, I learned a long time ago. I had a buddy of mine that we hung out for, I don't know, 15, probably 20 years. And I was never in the military, and he was in the Marine Corps. And I just found out that they can, you know, they can mess with each other all they want, and it can be another branch of the military, but if you start messing with them, and you're not in the military, then they'll turn on you and stand up for each other. So, you know, I realized that in a hurry, and luckily I didn't find out the hard way.
Yeah, right, you're exactly right. I don't know what it is, fellowship or brotherhood, whatever you want to call it, but you know, it gets difficult sometimes. You know, it gets pretty brutal. You know, it can get brutal, but you know, when I'm around other veterans, but it's all, you know, it's all out of love and fun, but you know, you can't do that when you're not around other veterans. You know, you get these really strange looks, and sometimes it's hard to change gears sometimes. But all in all, it was a good day. We had a barrel full of laughs, had a good time over.
I have fond memories of riding with my dad on occasion, which was very rare, especially in the later years. Well, any time, really, because my stepmother was real jealous of our time together, and she didn't want us to be alone. I think she thought that we were going to talk about her or something. I don't know what she thought. But anyway, my dad would talk about my mom, and my mom passed away when I was four, so I barely remember her. And so he would just start talking about her when he and I were in the car alone, and it was really refreshing, because I'd hear stuff about her that, you know, I never knew or never heard before.
Well, I do cherish my mom. She's overprotective, and you know, fusses out love, but you know, that's mom. That's just what moms do. But he was at his limit. I made a mistake and told him on Monday that we'd go to Shaw on Friday. So he's had 5 days to, you know, to saddle up, and he was just get in there, pulled in the yard, and if you get in the truck, let's go right now. I got to go right now.
Yes, yes.
Chandler, are you still in there? Go ahead and pick it up, bud.
Here, Chad. I'm monitoring the skyline with Peter on my handheld now and talking to you in the car on the motor. And I'm in between two Q-shows, but right now I'm standing by on the other one, so I've got a little time to talk to you. There's a guy named Billy on there right now. He's got a really cool Motorola Squelch tail. I want to find out how I can program that on my radio.
If I've got it here. Well, guys, I'm going to jump out of here. I will tell you this, Chad. I had the privilege of singing at the Marine Recruit Chapel on Paris Island with the youth choir from Washington Avenue Baptist Church years ago. Well, it was back in 1988, as a matter of fact. And there was supposed to be, it was a new chapel then. And it's supposed to hold 900 Marines, and they had 1,200 Marines in there. They had them just packed in there like sardines. And, man, I tell you, when they sang, it's like 12,000 Marines. I mean, they were just singing to the top of their voices, and it was just something to hear. I just quit singing and just listened, because it was just a blessing, I tell you. Well, I'm here at the ball field, and I'm going to found me a couple of white lines here and park my pony and see what my grandson's gonna do. But y'all have a good one. I enjoyed the ride along here, and y'all continue on, and C-73s, both you and Chad, and Chad and Chandler. So y'all, Chad wants to pick it up. KB4CB, clear up yours.
Have a nice evening, sir. KO4NUE, I'm clear.
4NUE, KO4HGX, you still around?
Hey, Patrick, yeah, I'm still here, bud. What's going on?
I was just on my way home. Wife and I went out for dinner. I met her in town and was listening to you and Dave talk here about your trip down to the Air Force Base today. Sounds like you had a good time. I hope it lasts for a little while.
He's pretty anxious. Closer we got to the house, he was, he just, yeah, I don't exactly know how to describe that, you know, just, I'd never seen anybody so glad to get in that truck in my life this morning. And he's just like a little kid all the way down to, you know, Shaw.
I didn't see your cousin there first.
By Sportsman's Warehouse on the way before we got to Fort Jackson. And then we just went ahead and ate lunch right outside the main gate. And I said, let's go and let's run into Fort Jackson real quick. We'll go into PX there. I got somebody I want to visit with. And mind if we just head on to Shaw? So he's having such a good time. And he'd been looking forward to getting down to the Air Force Base, you know, for so long. I wasn't going to do anything to spoil his day. When we got on 85, he said, roll the window down. I want to feel fresh air. So I rolled the window down. He stuck both hands out that driver's side, passenger side window, and was just, he looked like a kid over there in the passenger seat. He was having a blast. I just snickered the whole way.
Do that for him. Probably made his week.
Mama met us at the door this morning, and she's on his heels all the way out the door. And she says, we got out in the truck. She says, wait, you forgot your coffee. You forgot your coffee. He said, you put this truck in gear right now. We're going to Hardee's.
Oh, that was too funny. I hope you let him get your mom get the coffee and didn't leave her standing there. And go ahead, Chandler.
Hey, Chad, I'm sorry that I got done with you after the tear I identified it, show.
So, at any rate, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, so we got on 85, headed down, and, he got to reminiscing and all, and we got telling, war stories, and then, just past experiences, and he had a just absolute field day with Siri. Siri just blows his mind, he got a truck this morning, and I told Siri to, give me, plot a course for, Shaw Air Force Base. He said, you tell me you had somebody in the back seat. And Patrick, it's all I can do to keep from laughing. It's bless his heart. I love him to death. I swear I do. But he's had a time of it. But he was at his wit's end.
Like you and him had a good day today. And I'm sure it's good for both of you.
Oh, man. But, he wanted to eat Chinese. That's his favorite, favorite meal. So, they got a big old Chinese buffet right there outside the main gate at Fort Jackson. And, we got ready to go in the door. And, he has to watch his blood sugar. He says, now, before we go in here, he says, we got to have an understanding. And I said, what happens down here stays down here. And he said, all right, you good to go.
No more nagging.
He went and got his first plate at the buffet. And boy, I'm telling you, he just, you know, I mean, he hammered down on it, buddy. He was just, you know, mama's no salt, no sugar, blah, 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 just, you know, healthy this and healthy that. So he tore that first plate up in no time. And he looks up at me, he's pushing his plate to the side, and he looks up at me, and I just looked at him and grinned, and I said, it's our secret. So he went back, and I know what
the... I just don't know what to say about that.
But, dude, I mean, he's 90, and, you know, I mean, what would you have done?
Exact same thing. At that age, and it is what it is. I didn't see nothing.
We came back home, and Mama's, you know, I'm gonna have to go back over there and take her out next. And I mean, she was just, I know you're tired, and you know how you been, and blah blah, and this, that, and the other, and I just, you know, I stayed long as I could, but I'm gonna have to go back over there next week and take her out, cause I'm sure she. I'm sure it's a two-way street there.
Give you a little reminder so you don't get in trouble. Mother's Day is coming soon. As in, let's see, tomorrow's the 1st, like the 8th.
Telling me that, I'll tell Siri to remind me.
For me to remember, my birthday's right around there every year.
This April, May. May's next, right? May. So May 8th.
So it's that Sunday. So whatever that date is.
My wife's birthday's on the 13th, I believe. So I got two of them. I'll definitely have to get Siri involved in that.
Yeah, it's the 8th. I just verified it. And Anna's birthday will be on the Friday following that.
Be careful. Anna not be listening.
Anyway, do you enjoy your day off today, bud?
I used it as one of those can't get around to it, or ain't got time to get around to it, and I got around to a couple of them today.
I understand. That's about 5 times a day for me.
I'm not retired, so I still have a job I got to get done.
I understand. What you got on the schedule for this weekend?
Well, if you look at your text messages, you'll see.
It kind of blew his mind in the truck, so I, you know, just kind of tucked the phone in the console. At some point, somebody sent me a text, and it popped up on the console on the truck and just, you know, read the text out over the speakers. And it just, you know, put him in a tailspin, so I just muted the phone at that point. It just not worth the explanation, I guess.
Text, in the group text we got, and I can't remember, but he asked about tomorrow if it was still on, and I told him no, and he said we need to get together. I said we can still get together if you want to, and then I let him know that you were out of town to text me on my cell.
Well, Patrick, I don't know if you're in a bad spot or I am one, but not sure how I'm making it in. But I'm on 25, fixing to turn right on Highway 11, so I'm not sure what the repeater does down here. Over.
It is not you. It is me. I just pulled in the driveway. I was under the power lines. So I'll go ahead and say 73, but look at your text message from the group, Daniel and I, and you'll get the gist of it.
Tell the missus I said hello, and y'all have a wonderful evening. It's beautiful, beautiful weather. KO4NUE, I'll be clear.
Peace, Chad. Have a good day. And 73 is to you too, Chandler. KO4HK, clear.
Have a nice weekend. And Chad, 1957, Marty Robbins. A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
Now, I wonder, what was it you said to me about singing? KO4NUE,
go ahead, Chandler.
Okay, I think maybe you need to go. If you need to go, I'll let you go. I just wanted to talk with you some more while I'm waiting on Mom to get here at the grocery.
Yep.
So, I'm going to use this time as maybe some learning experience. I have a feeling I may have did something wrong there during our conversation. Anything you could let me know about?
I'm not sure how to kind of respond to that. Sometimes, well, how about this? Let's do it this way. Sometimes when, you ever been on I-85 and the speed limit sign says 55, but you look down at your speedometer and you're doing 70, and everybody along the side of you is staying the same speed you are. Everybody's breaking the law because they're doing, 25 miles over the speed limit. But there's a thing called going with the flow, right? So when you're going with the flow, you have a tendency, that's when, the popo can pull you over for speeding. But if you're going with the flow, 9 times out of 10, he's going to leave you alone, right?
Sure.
Now, the second you get outside of that flow, let's say you want to go to 85 miles an hour. What do you think Popo's going to do?
Pull you over because you're not going with the flow of traffic.
And if you go 45 miles an hour.
Obstructing traffic because you're going 10 miles an hour below the posted speed limit.
Oh, you got it. So the point here is if you go too slow, you're going to have a problem. If you go too fast, you're going to have a problem. So sometimes you need to just go with the flow. Listen to where the conversation's going. And try to find something in common with that conversation. And try to, go with the flow. So in other words, let me let my radio drop here. Two operators that are having a, a conversation, and they're having a, they're having a good time at it. That may not be going with the flow when you interject into that. Now, let me say, you ever heard the word caveat? Do you know what caveat means?
I've heard it, but I'm not familiar with the definition of it.
Let's word it this way. If you hear two operators talking about fishing, and let's say me and another operator talk, well, I got this 8-pound bass on the line, and I fought him and fought him and fought him, and then I be quiet, and the other operator picks it up, and he says, well, I remember when I caught this 13-pound fish, and blah, blah, blah. The main topic of the conversation there is fishing. So if a third operator comes in and says, hey, I killed a 250-pound bear last week, that may not necessarily be going with the flow of the conversation, right? Okay. So, when you know, it's okay to listen, you know, listen for a little bit, try to figure out where the flow's going. And when you get, you know, you figure out where the conversation is going, then, at that point, when you have something that may be in common with that conversation, then that's when you say comment. And when you come in with the comment, then try to pick up in the flow. And that way, we get three people talking about fish. Now, here's a caveat, which is maybe a good explanation for that would be an exception, is that when the conversation starts to dwindle off, and you have to listen for it sometimes, find something to say about fish, and it's really not constructive anymore, then maybe move the conversation into a different direction and say, hey, you know, I went bear hunting last week, and, you know, I killed a 225-pound bear. But when the conversation is talking about fish and you're in the height of the moment, you know, we're fixing to get this 13-pound bass in the boat, and here comes a conversation about a bear, that's something that might not be with the flow, right? Second thing, when you determine what the flow is, and let's say the flow is about, you know, big fish. So, how do I word this one? All right, so when you give a Christmas gift every year to your mom for Christmas, how many people does the Christmas gift make happy?
No, it makes my mom happy, but it makes me happy to see her smile and be happy about the gift that she got.
So the gift, that single gift, makes two people happy. It may make one person more happy than the other, but there is joy that is given to both parties, one in receiving the gift and giving the gift. In other words, your mom gets a gift and she's happy to have it, and for a lot of reasons. But you're happy to give the gift too, because, hey, I'm getting out on my own. I can afford my own, you know, money. I can afford to get mama things. Mama's done so much for me. I get great joy in pleasing my mother, right? Exactly. Okay, so a conversation's kind of like that. When, you know, you're having a, you know, let's go back to the fish story. So when you have two people that are talking about a fish and getting the fish in the boat, that conversation, there's a lot going on with that conversation. I mean, a lot. Depending on who the operators are, it could be about who could tell the biggest lie. Or it could be about the experience of, you know, my goodness, that thing fought so hard, and, you know, I couldn't believe the size of the mouth and how big the tail. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that in a conversation like that, parties are receiving something in that conversation. The person listening, he's in that boat at that moment with that other guy, and he is experiencing what it means to catch that 13-pound fish. And at the same time, the person telling the story, he gets to experience giving joy to someone else by not only just being a part of that story, but to be able to tell it. So it's not always about the fish. It's about the exchange between the two operators. And believe it or not, at the root level, this is my experience now, where relationships are formed. When those two operators are having that exchange, or they are having that moment. For example, I've never met Dave. I've never met him face to face. But just from the conversations that me and Dave have had, he sounds like an outstanding person. So that when we tell stories with one another, we have the opportunity to, I guess, kind of sort of bless one another with the stories by bringing a little bit of joy or bringing a little bit of truth, depending on what the situation is, right? Full job. And let me add, it is a difficult one. It is not easy. But it's something that you might want to add to your rule book. When that exchange is happening between two operators, you have to learn to go with the flow. And you have to learn to contribute to that joy, or to that truth, or to that sadness, whatever the conversation is about. And if you learn to do that, you're going to do just fine. But you may have to listen a little bit, and you may have to make a decision to say, well, you know what, I've never been fishing before, and I don't know what it feels like to catch a 13-pound fish, so maybe I need to sit this one out. Let me let my radio drop. The second, and I mean the second, for example, you hear two operators talking about grounding a station, and you hear one operator say, well, I've been a ham operator for 27 years, and I've never grounded my station. And then you hear the other operator say, well, you know, I tried that, and I made it about 2 months, and then lightning hit my station and wiped everything I had. It totally destroyed everything I had. Now, what are you going to say?
Well, this is KO4WWZ. I had put up my antenna, and my station got it all set up. I did not ground it, and I still got hit by lightning. So either way, it's a hit or miss.
KO4NUE. Now that, young man, is what you call going with the flow. You heard a conversation that you had direct experience with. And when you say comment, both of those operators, their ear is going to perk up. Comment. Now here's what they're expecting when they hear the word comment. You ready? The thing from you, because you have professionally interrupted the conversation by saying comment. So you perk their ears up, but there's an expectation that comes with the word comment. And that expectation is that you have something to contribute to the conversation that is with the flow. It is a comment about a personal experience that you have experienced about grounding or not grounding your station. In other words, it's a way to enter a conversation between two operators that, when you interrupt, you have knowledgeable information to come into the conversation. Right?
Although my knowledge would be very limited.
Good point. That's a good point. That you recognize that the information that you have is limited, but it's something. It's something that contributes to the flow, and it contributes to what those two operators are talking about. So with that, when you say comment, go ahead and get your ID over with. Comment, and when they recognize, you say, this is KO4WWZ. I have an experience I want to share about not grounding my station and, you know, how it turned out for me. Now you really got their ears perked up and they want to hear what you've got to say. So, understanding that, when you say comment and you come into a conversation, get on with it. Get on with your point. In other words, what I mean by that is let my radio drop for a second. Listen to this and tell me if this is going with the flow. Comment, and then one of the stations says, go ahead, comment, and you say, this is KO4WWZ and KO4NUE and ABCDEF and ZHY123. I killed a 213-pound bear yesterday. What do you think could be an issue there?
Way off topic, and it has nothing to do with the conversation ahead.
All right, so you're exactly right. So how about the identification part? Did you see maybe an issue with that?
Some of those were not valid call signs at all. I don't think they'd be even valid call signs for GMRS.
That's a good point. You're right. Those are not valid call signs. But here's the point, is that typically when you identify for another station, it is already 10 minutes into the conversation. In other words, you're taking up time by identifying all of the stations that are contributing. We know who's contributing because we're involved in that conversation. So just so you have a clear understanding here of what I'm trying to say is that when you have something that is contributing to the flow, this is the way, a way that it could sound. Go ahead, comment. This is KO4NUE. Let me tell you what happened when I did not ground my station. Lightning struck about 250 yards away, and it wiped out every single thing I had. And turn loose of the mic and see what happens. When you say it like this, comment. Well, go ahead, comment. This is KO4WWZ with KO4NUE and ABC123 and DEF456. You see an issue with that?
It's taking up time when you don't really need to identify for the other stations.
Right, so why is time important this time of day?
Because anyone who might be talking on the radio would currently be mobile and probably going home from work and wanting to get in the house.
Hey, young man, you are exactly right. So, when I am immobile, you have no idea how far I am from my destination. And what ends up happening when that time is taken up is that I may have to sit out in the yard or in the carport for a little bit while my wife is standing at the door looking at me going, why are you on the radio when I am in the house? So, time is of the essence, which I would like to say, I am near my destination. So, absolutely good lessons, and, you know, I just want to say you're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. Learn to listen to that flow for a minute. Contribute something that is, you know, that everyone can get joy from, and keep it brief. Now, let me let my radio drop.